This is Ottawa at Work with Patricia Bull on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
...905 on News Talk 580 CFRA. Good Monday morning to you. Sounds like a few people are finding it a little rough on this Monday morning. Poor Bill Carroll wasn't able to get through his show. Stephane Keyes jumping in from downstairs at the last minute. Thanks to him for doing that, doing an excellent job in relief. Never easy at that time in the morning to suddenly completely switch up your day, but sometimes that's what happens in this time of year. This time of year, as we well know, a lot of people feeling a little something. Some people exhausted this morning because of perhaps the grueling sports schedule on the weekend. We're going to talk about that a bit later. But thank goodness the Australian Open is over for me, because I get to kind of get back to normal a little bit after a couple of 3:30 a.m. calls on the weekend. I know there was a lot of football happening yesterday, but I guess the good news is that none of us are exhausted because of endless horn honking from yesterday as we get into our Big Five.
Big news.
Even bigger news.
Yeah, great. Let's hear it.
Ottawa at Work. Big Five stories.
Chris Holsky is here. We'll talk football in a little bit, Chris, but my condolences right off the bat.
Oh, I was up until 1 o'clock in the morning watching the WWE Royal Rumble on Saturday night.
Forgot to mention that. I know a lot of our listeners were doing the same thing.
Yeah, and it's difficult reconciling yourself to the fact that, okay, I'm going to bed now, and I'm actually going to be going to sleep twice within the next approximately 26 hours. And that's, or waking up twice within the next 26
Somehow
hours.
Somehow that works out to you not getting a lot of sleep.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying. John Krupe is here as well. How are you doing this morning, John?
I can't believe I'm good. I can't believe WWE is a thing. I don't get you guys.
It's reality TV at its finest.
Whatever. Yeah.
You're not buying that it's real. There's still a lot of people who love that. A lot of people who work here who love that. A lot of people who work at the station right next door to us who love that.
It's coming to Ottawa within the next month. There's going to be a live TV show, Monday Night Raw, on, I believe, Family Day.
What colors do you paint your chest when you go to one of those?
None.
The full getup. I find it's a favorite sports question on the American networks. Who was which wrestler did you love growing up or whatever? It's a cue about your personality.
Is it? Yeah. Is it now Bret Hart? So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's the easy Canadian answer.
Okay, 908 here on News Talk 580 CFRA. John Krupe, since you're good and we're struggling, let's recap what happened on the weekend, because obviously, this was a huge focus last week, what might happen here in Ottawa on the anniversary of the Freedom Convoy that we all remember so well from last year. Police saying repeatedly that they were ready for whatever would occur. Now, there was a small group of protesters that showed up on the hill in what was a very snowy Sunday afternoon. Gosh, the driving was not very good yesterday, I got to say. Is this kind of what we expected, that there'd be some minor show, not a whole lot of issues, although, you know, bylaw out there letting people know they were out there? And then are we done, or what are you thinking about what occurred this weekend?
Well, I think it's what they expected all along. They expected some kind of protest demonstration. Obviously, the vehicle demonstrations are out the window now. That's not going to be tolerated again. I think I heard Michael Kemp say on the radio station here that they prepared for last year's convoy this year. So better late than never, right? And anybody driving around the hill saw the police cruisers ready. But, you know, without the mandates and without and all the conditions on some of the characters like Pat King, it's what we expected all along.
Some of the characters like Pat King, I'm wondering if he's in any trouble. He was caught in a live stream FaceTiming with someone by the looks of things during the course of that event. I don't know if there are any legal repercussions that could be tied in with that, but that's something to watch over the course of the next few weeks. It seemed to be pretty much in line with what many were expecting, saying, well, it could be a few hundred. It turned out to be approximately, the estimates are, maybe about 200 people at its peak. I feel bad for some of the people. Well, I don't feel completely bad. Something like 200 parking offense notices were handed out over the course of the weekend by late Sunday. That suggests to me that there were several people not affiliated with this whatsoever who didn't take a close enough look at some of the signs downtown when they were going around. I don't believe that every single person had parked illegally somewhere in order to get onto the hill, but that we saw similar actions like that. And the side effect of having these special effect zones, that was a consistent both in July and May last year as well.
Yeah. It just add the snow to the mix there on Sunday. It made it a little bit interesting and a little bit dicey for all involved. We will, I'm sure, be talking a little bit more about this again before it is all done. But overall, waking up on Monday after a fairly quiet weekend in the Capitol with, I think, everyone breathing a sigh of relief. As one counselor said, there was some residual trauma from this and going into this thinking that there might be more kind of craziness than there was, I think was stressful for a lot of people out there. Want to switch gears and talk about this. My feed was absolutely full of tributes on the weekend or all through the day yesterday to a mayor we have all heard of over the years. Some of us have had the pleasure of meeting her. All of us have been touched by her, I think, in some way. And the prime minister yesterday was playing tribute as well to Hurricane Hazel, Hazel McCallion.
Hazel McCallion was a remarkable and inspiring leader, an extraordinary woman, and a really good friend. Over the past couple of decades, I had many opportunities to speak with her, to learn from her, to get advice from her. The last time I spoke with her was about 10 days ago. It's hard to believe she's gone because she has been such a presence in Mississauga, across Ontario and across Canada for so many years. She will be deeply missed, but she will be fondly remembered.
He is, of course, speaking of former Mississauga, Ontario Mayor Hazel McCallion. Hurricane Hazel was her name because of the way she got things done, just a ball of energy. She was 101 years old. A lot of us found out about her death through a news release that the premier actually put out. And then, as I say, just tributes from everyone out there in my feed who has been touched by some of what she has done over the years. John Krupe, I'm going to go to you first on this because your time at City Hall and city politics, and you know what a stressful life and world that is. What are your thoughts on Hazel McCallion?
Well, there will never be another Hazel McCallion. What, 12 terms? She didn't have to campaign. There was no election office. There was no campaign signs. You know, the reason why Doug Ford likes her is she's like Doug Ford. She tells it like it is. And she's just very gruff. She'll just tell you wrong or right what you're doing. The other thing
gruff
is
but kind, right?
Like, yeah, rough but kind. Yeah. And well, just it's just respect, right? But she was also known, you know, I have tons of tributes, of course, and deservedly so, but she was also known as a queen of sprawl. It's something that, you know, has been written about and talked about, and she even addresses it many times. She made Mississauga from, you know, a farmland, rural, urban city into this sprawling, you know, boulevards and malls and shopping centers. And that's good. But she said one regret she had, and I think this was a Globe and Mail interview, which I read just yesterday, is that she forgot the transit part. And so they're trying to fix that these days. So even when you sprawl, you need transit.
Yeah.
You know, people in New Orleans and Canada will tell you that.
Yeah, absolutely. Lessons learned for sure. But mayor of Mississauga from 1978 until 2014, Mississauga, as you say, that growth, now the seventh largest city in Canada, third largest in Ontario. Just incredible to think about that kind of longevity when you think about this era that we're in right now, Chris Holsky.
I was almost shocked that it was only 37 years, only 37 years that she was the mayor of Mississauga, because it seems like she was a constant or even an even greater, longer presence than that.
Well, for you, your whole life growing up.
Exactly, right. It's just like she was already mayor of Mississauga before I was born and continued to be mayor of Mississauga all the way into my 30s. That's unbelievable, her track record. I have tremendous respect for politicians who are straight shooters, whether you side with them or you don't, Hurricane Hazel, you knew where she stood. And I think that's an important quality that all politicians should have. And for good or for ill, in the days leading up to her death, there was controversy over her being in support of expanding further into the Green Belt. We heard John just talking now about the suggestion that she was the queen of sprawl. The fact that she was still, whether you agree or disagree with that, the fact that she was still relevant in not just municipal but provincial politics because of the repercussions of this, even federal repercussions of what's going on with the Green Belt right now, that she was still relevant at the age of 101 is amazing.
Incredible. Incredible. Hazel McCallion. Gone at 101, and still you're seeing those tributes here on a Monday morning. Love reading through her life story. Take a minute if you haven't done it just yet. 9:16 here on News Talk 580 CFRA. We're going to take a hard turn when we come back and talk a little football. It's a bit of a Monday morning quarterbacks club here on News Talk 580 CFRA as the Super Bowl is set. This is Ottawa at Work. I'm Patricia Bowl.
Big news.
Even bigger news.
Yeah, great. Let's hear it.
Ottawa at Work. Big five stories.
He's a perfect 10.
That's not football. That's the other thing that was going on this weekend that impacted my sleep schedule. But I know probably more of you are watching football than tennis. Just maybe, at least live. Because that was at 3:30 a.m. when Novak Djokovic beat Tsitsipas in the Australian Open final. That perfect 10 was his 10th Australian Open victory. And with that win, he tied Rafa Nadal for 22 Grand Slam titles. So a pretty big moment, although not the most exciting tennis match of all time. This was a straight sets victory for Djokovic. Still making it look relatively easy on that world stage. Quick thought on tennis before we get to football. Holsky, you were staying up late on Saturday to watch WWE.
Yes, I did
and
not.
And then you segued right into the tennis? Or
No, there was no tennis watching. And I want to juxtapose this right now when it comes to respective tennis players, even though they just tied each other. When Djokovic won on Saturday, it still seemed that it was being treated like a big meh. When Rafa Nadal won the French Open a year ago, it was, an amazing accomplishment for this guy. I think that just shows you what side tennis fans are on right now.
It has always been tough for Djokovic to earn the kind of love that the other guys get. But, of course, after last year, he was a controversial figure with the vaccination controversy. It's just been tough, but he is going to progress and probably be the greatest and most winning tennis player of all time from here on in. So, John Krupe, quick thought.
So last year he was deported from Australia, and this year he wins, and he says it makes it the best tournament that he's ever won. I just find him hard to like. I don't know why. He says all the right things. He's kind, but there's just something there. I don't know.
He's just had the misfortune of being right up against Rafa Nadal, who's more heart than you could ever handle, and yeah. Roger Federer is the classiest guy in sport, probably, and it's just been easy to root against him, I think. But anyway, that's tennis. Who cares? 9:24 on News Talk 580 CFRA. Let's talk a little NFL real quick here on a Monday morning because the Super Bowl is set. Two games yesterday. One was really, really crazy close, and the other one, not so much. A bit of a rout. Let's start there.
Brock Purdy has been taken out of the game.
Oh, no.
Josh Johnson, the veteran, is in to play quarterback as he got hit on the Hassan Reddick fumble. Dr. McAdams talking to him over on the sideline. Kyle Shanahan talking to Purdy. Brian Greasy there. We're going to the 36-year-old veteran, Josh Johnson.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay, so for the purposes of this discussion, we have two 49ers fans in the studio here. Welcome, Michael Woods.
I'm here to help Chris Holsky out on this Monday. 49er fans, reinforcements, we need it.
Oh, okay.
It was a rough game.
If you're not a football fan out there, Woodsy, maybe you can break down what happened, because at one point I was watching, kind of warming up the arm just in case they needed me, because it was not good for the 49ers yesterday.
It was so much buildup to this rookie quarterback. Brock Purdy had not lost a game, and he was going up against this great Eagles team, and everybody was really curious to see how the Niners were going to do. And it was the first drive of the game. He gets hit. He's injured. Seems like he maybe can't play. They bring in Josh Johnson, as we heard on that clip.
The veteran.
Josh Johnson was playing in the XFL 3 years ago. He's not a top commodity. He's their four stringer, because for people who may not know this, the 49ers had two quarterbacks ahead of these guys who both got hurt this year. Still trying to pull it out with this guy who's, and then Josh Johnson gets injured. They're talking about putting the running back in at quarterback. It was a crazy, crazy game. But, yeah, rough day for the 49ers.
McCaffrey maybe having to do it.
McCaffrey is one more touchdown pass this season than Josh Johnson does.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
It was weird. It was a weird day.
His fumble near the end of the first half, where it was a fine snap, it just hit him in the chest. And it's just like it was amazing watching Josh Johnson in slow motion as first he fumbles the ball. It's on the ground. And you see him moving like it's, I don't know, like something out of 2001, A Space Odyssey, trying to recover the fumble over and over again. It's right on his feet. It's like Billy Buckner times 10. He just has to bend over and pick it up. He can't do it. The Eagles get it. They score a touchdown, make it up 21-7. It's over. It was tough to watch. It's tough to reconcile with, because I don't know if the better team won yesterday. I can't say that for sure.
It's that might have been.
But, it's
yeah,
a what if.
Because the
it's
49ers, they were incapable. They had nobody who could throw a forward pass during the entire second half of that game. Purdy came back in. He couldn't even grip the ball. He was just handing it off. It looks like by the injury report, he's going to miss at least, well, he's missing the rest of the offseason. It's a 6-week recovery time is what he's dealing with that injury. It's going to be an entire offseason of wondering what might have been with the 49ers.
At least I know, Michael Woods, you had really good snacks.
My friend Ian, who's one of the biggest 49ers fans, I know the biggest, I would say, he put out a massive spread, so we did at least eat well. But I will say, when
our condolences, Ian. Good effort.
When Josh Johnson came in, they were all like, the veteran, he's 36. I was watching with a bunch of guys in their mid-30s. Like, we're like, 36 isn't that old. He could probably still move.
He can do it.
All these guys, you get up
to go refill your plate and you pull a little something in the back. You're like, oh, no.
But ultimately, I think, and for people who are more neutral, like Krupe, for example, it's a shame that it wasn't a better game, because these are the two best teams in the NFC all year, and you wanted that matchup, as Chris was saying, to find out who was actually better. And the quarterback gets taken out, and it's kind of just over pretty soon after that. It was a loss for like football fans. The game was not very good.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to get John Krupe in here, but let's talk about the other game that was closer. Was it actually better? Certainly was at the end. This is how this one finished off in the evening.
From 45 yards all the way, it's good.
This one looked right to the last minute like it might have been headed for overtime, but no, there were also injuries in this one. So that's Kansas City with that last minute field goal, a 23-20 victory over the Bengals last night. Some of the most interesting parts of this were watching their quarterback, the Chiefs quarterback, Mahomes, John Krupe, struggling with, I guess he had a high ankle sprain, and kind of being forced to run the ball to give them a chance late and take a penalty that was a game changer for sure.
Yeah, his last minute run with that high ankle, and of course he got the penalty and set up the field goal. And it's just was a weekend of horrible officiating. I just want to say one thing about the earlier game, San Francisco, probably the worst football game I've seen all year, and I've seen every red black game.
Ouch,
man.
I love my red black.
That's not helpful.
I saw some people arguing on Twitter last night that the game was rigged in favor of the Kansas City Chiefs. I guess because they figure, they want Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. That's ridiculous. The hype machine's been behind Joe Burrow, I think, as much as Mahomes this season. Yeah. I think the NFL is quite fine with either the Bengals or the Chiefs getting in there.
There was a lot of money on the Bengals, though, if you want to go down that road.
There was. I know a family member lost a little money.
I think it's more the reffing was incompetence rather than like fishy. That's how I read it.
Okay, well, Chris Holzke, I just quickly, are you guys going to give me your pick? Or are you going to wait till next week or right before Super Bowl? You have a pick?
There's no way I can make a pick right now until we know the status of Patrick Mahomes' ankle.
Okay. All right, that's fair. Is that what both of you are going to give me?
I'm just too emotional. I'm too emotional about the Niners. I can't even think about it.
John Krupe?
Eagles win and Sens win tomorrow night.
Okay, Sens, quickly, because we mentioned Red Blacks. Friday, we talked about what was ahead in a weekend in sports. Somehow forgot to mention the Senators, who had an excellent weekend. They won in Montreal on Friday night. They won. Where were they? They were won in Toronto Friday night. They won at home to Montreal on Saturday, 5-0, a shutout win. This is Anthony LeBlanc tweeting, third in a row, sold out barn, back to 500. Nothing to cheer about from the Habs, but thanks for coming. Pretty good Saturday night. Pretty good sports weekend all around, unless, of course, you were a 49ers fan. 9:30 on News Talk 580 CFRA. When we come back, we're going to talk about this new Escape Manor and Manor Lounge that is opening downtown. This looks really, really cool. We're going to get into that. Lots more on the show as well. This is Ottawa at Work. I'm Patricia Bowl.